Before I get started this week, I want to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. You believe it's TMS until it flares. This is where most people get stuck. You've done the work and you get it, but in the moment, you're not sure what to do. And the doubt and fear creep back in, even though you know they're not supposed to. That's the gap she helps you close. And if you heard Jeannie on the show last month, you know this is exactly the work that she does. Jeannie helps you change that so that you can actually feel safe in your body and stop the cycle. She's hosting a free live workshop next month on exactly what to do when symptoms flare, so stay tuned. I'll be sharing a sign-up link right here on the podcast. And if you're someone who needs help applying this work in real life, follow Jeannie Colwin Coaching on Instagram or Facebook for more support and tools. May 14th, welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, let me thank the patrons of the show. Go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you want to throw a few bucks in the tip jar. I'm so appreciative for all of you. Scott Stiles, Scotty Stiles, founder of How to Heal Chronic Pain, is back on the show. So he's a pain elimination coach and mind-body practitioner out of Toronto. I love our Canadian friends. He conquered over 15 years of debilitating chronic back, hip, shoulder, foot, and wrist pain by embracing a mind-body approach. So he treated all these symptoms psychologically and emotionally after years of getting no relief from the biomedical approach. So Scotty was on, a year ago, and it's crazy how time flies in between talking to guests. But the thing that we're going to focus on today is this acronym called ALLOW. And so we kind of break this down, the ALLOW in the word allow, and we go through this one by one and kind of talk through them. So I'm excited for you to hear it. Thanks for being here. Listen to Scotty Stiles and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. Back with me again, friend of the show, Scotty or Scott, your preference, but Scott Stiles out of, is it still, I know you recently moved. Is it still Toronto or are you in like a suburb of Toronto?
Yeah, still in Toronto, you know, the west end of Toronto near Hyde Park.
Awesome. Cool. Well, welcome back. It's nice to hear from you again. I don't know how long it's been, but it feels like it's been a minute. You sent me over a note. This was like, we've been trying to get this thing kind of booked for a couple of months. It was actually, as people listen to this, it was 2 months ago yesterday. But I'm a sucker for a good acronym. I use them all the time. And you, had said, hey, I'm working on a pain reprocessing tool and I'm using this new acronym, ALLOW, ALLOW. Let's talk through that a little bit. And then offline, we were talking about some COVID situations, some long COVID type symptom stuff. And I think that'd be interesting to dive into as well. But let's start with this with ALLOW. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back, Eddie. And yeah, I think it's been maybe 2 years since we were last recording this podcast. Yeah, so time definitely flies. So this ALLOW framework, I created kind of inspired by different types of pain reprocessing therapy and mind-body strategies, but just wanted to really, you know, I love a good acronym too, and just put in, you know, memorable words that we often use in the mind-body space that can really help people, including myself. You know, I've used it on myself as well as with my clients to just really help change our relationship to pain or symptoms, which of course is really the bedrock of this work, is, you know, feeling safe with the sensations that we're feeling, as well as, you know, working with our thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and then just safety with our life in general too. So to go through the acronym, of course, an acronym, if people can sort of visualize what that looks like, you know, the word ALLOW, as you said, is ALLOW. And so the first part of ALLOW, really, I like to think this sort of is the energy of how we allow, really, is of course, is acceptance. So when we're talking about mind-body healing, we we often talk about acceptance as well. And I would like to say, acceptance really isn't the same as allowing, because you might be saying, okay, I'm going to allow my symptoms, I'm going to do all these things, but you might really not be fundamentally accepting beneath the surface. You might still be resisting what's happening for you. Like if you're not wanting the pain or symptoms to be around, which of course is natural, you might not really be accepting what is. And so, the famous quote by Carl Jung, of course, is what resists persists. And, the sort of added tagline to that would be what we embrace, we erase. So this idea of allowing really is, or sorry, acceptance is, we want it to be radical acceptance. It's, it's very radical to accept our pain or symptoms. We don't want our pain or symptoms. And so if we can really just get to this, this place in our, the present moment of what we're working with, to just say, okay, right here in this moment, I am trying my best to accept what is. So yeah, wondering what you think about that too, Eddie.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that you can, tell me if I'm off base, you can certainly allow things, but it doesn't mean you have to accept things. And then, like a conduit to that, something that I think of is like, where have I heard this before? The forgive and forget thing, right? Like you can forgive somebody without necessarily forgetting like whatever happened.
Right.
Those are the first couple of things that come to me that, you can allow even if you don't have, even if you don't accept, but you can also, people can also accept without necessarily allowing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's sneaky because, so many people might be saying that they're, trying their best to allow, but really, behind the scene, subconsciously or otherwise, they might really not be accepting their situation. We can truly start changing our physiology when we kind of let go of this need to change what is. Because if we have this sort of urgency and need to fix ourselves, and whether that's before finding out about the mind-body solution, and you're trying to fix yourself with all sorts of biomedical things like medication or surgery or physio and all that kind of stuff, if that's failed you, it could be because we're not in this place of acceptance. And true healing comes from just surrendering, really. If we can surrender and put down the fight, then that's sending a really profound message of safety to the nervous system to say, hey, okay, this person here is kind of, he's accepting his symptoms. It doesn't mean he likes them, but we're sitting here with it and we're saying, okay, for this moment, I can accept this because I know what this is. I know it's not dangerous. You can truly accept something if you know it's not dangerous.
Seems like that leads into the first L.
Yeah.
unless you've changed what some of the what some of them are in the last couple of months. But the first L, you said the first part of it. What's that first L in allow?
Yeah, so of course in allow there are two L's. So the first one is let it be.
Oh, great song.
Yeah,
Say it
exactly.
all the time, yeah.
A good friend, Vanessa from the Pain Psychology Center. She was speaking at the AT&S conference, and she actually brought up the song by the Beatles, "Let It Be."
Yeah.
So, and I think the whole audience sang it, and
That's
so it was
cool.
a really profound moment for everyone there. But yeah, so letting it be, like, why do we want to let our symptoms be? Well, this is sort of a non-doing energy, really. If you just are indifferent and feeling neutral toward your symptoms, and you just let it be. Let them be. If your symptoms are speaking to you and they're really trying to get your attention, maybe what is best for us is to say, hey, I'm not going to just sit here and get more scared and scare my brain more and really want this to go away. I'm going to go about my day. I'm going to maybe go for a walk, or maybe do something that I can engage in that's sort of pulling me out of this sort of sense of suffering. So again, we're not doing this to manipulate symptoms or anything. We're just, doing this as a way to bring them with us because, again, they're not dangerous. We don't have to push against them. And this also will help to reduce the hypervigilance we feel. So if we're feeling hypervigilant, which again is a natural response, and we may have learned to be hypervigilant as children, and now as an adult, you are, hypervigilant about your symptoms. And so, and then of course we can get caught in that pain fear cycle. So, if you could just let it be as best as you can, you are kind of, really working at reducing this hypervigilance.
Okay, so the second L, go on the second L, because I'm curious. That's not one that jumps out at me immediately. So break that down.
So the second L is kind of the opposite in a way of the letting it be. So with allowing, sometimes we want to actually lean in to the sensations. And so, but I specifically say we want to lean in strategically because it really depends on the level of fear or anxiety you have with your symptoms. So this would be, Alan Gordon talks about somatic tracking. And so leaning in strategically is essentially what I'm saying here is the same thing where we can do a somatic tracking process, whether in a mindfulness exercise or even just, when you're driving the car or sitting here right now, you could literally dip into your body. We all know what the pain feels like in our bodies. And so we can go into that and really bring some mindful awareness to it. And really feel it on purpose, right? Of course, like I said, you're probably feeling the pain a lot of the time throughout the day. And sometimes when it's wanting to get your attention and we're trying to sort of ignore it and push through and all these things, maybe what we really need is to sit down for 5 minutes and just let that part of the body speak. So, in the mind-body space, so many of us talk about, we want to feel it to heal it. And that's what this is. That's what this sort of part of the allow method is that we want to lean in strategically to really allow that somatic sensation to be fully expressed. And so you might notice when you lean in strategically through this lens of safety, it might start to move around or the pain might even start to sort of start to, I'm just focusing on my knee right now because I've had some tension in there. And it might start to bubble up and it might start to even feel like things that aren't pain. And if that's what's happening in your body, like this is very hallmark of neuroplastic pain, is that it moves around, it's inconsistent, it comes and goes. And if you can watch that and sort of see this happening in real time, this can help you feel safer with that sensation. And the safer we feel with sensations, we're kind of reversing the sensitization and teaching our brain that that sensation's not dangerous or harmful, right? So the leaning in, we couldn't possibly do this all day long. I don't want people to think, okay, I have to just constantly be feeling the pain in my body to get rid of the pain. That would be impossible. Everybody has a life to live and things to do. So for the most part, I think people would be, I would say, engaging with the first L, which is let it be, right? You got to go to work. If you have kids, family, do all of those things, all of your responsibilities. Let's say for 98% of the day. And then maybe periodically throughout the day, this idea of leaning in strategically, just dipping into the body to sort of let the body speak and really be aware that these sensations aren't dangerous. You could have a conversation with your symptoms and say, hey, you're trying to protect me. I'm here for you. What is it that you're trying to protect me from? These are the kind of, things that we want to do when we're leaning in strategically. What do you think about that?
I like that because I think it has some intentionality, but then also there's been a not a theme on this show, but I've interviewed quite a few of the therapists. One of the things that they have shared in common, and these aren't people that work together, it's just their messaging to me sounds very similar, but it's like taking back your power. And I think when you lean in strategically because of the intention behind it, really, if for nothing else, I think what it brings is that you're in control of doing something. Because a lot of times, like people that struggle with symptoms, regardless really of what it is, you feel like you're in a robotaxi that is moving, but you've got no power over what happens. If you're leaning in strategically, there is an intention there where maybe you're retaining a little bit of control. That's kind of what comes to mind for me.
Yeah, that's true. And in that control, I think it's because it's like you're making a decision to actually do something. So many people will say, like, I don't know what to do. Like, what, and there are, of course, there's other tools and things that we can do. And it's a tricky thing because we can't always say that what like this, any tool is the right tool. These are the types of things we just want to try on with curiosity to see how This can affect our nervous system. Because again, if your pain is like a really, really high, let's say in somatic tracking, we don't want to go into the body in this way. If it's higher than a 7 out of 10, it might not be the right time to lean in strategically, because you might, further traumatize your brain and nervous system to think that, oh goodness, this pain is really dangerous. It could sort of activate those neural circuits that are intensified by being caught in a pain fear cycle. So yeah, the leaning in strategically, that's why it's strategic, because not every time are we going to be able to sort of lean into the symptoms when they're really, really intense. I know that when I've had flare-ups in, since I recovered, there have been times when maybe the first couple of days I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to say, okay, I'm going to do some somatic tracking. It was a real process. I think there were times I was even in denial, like even knowing this is neuroplastic, this is mind body, this is TMS. But it took me kind of a couple of days to really come to grips with, okay, here I have to get back on the horse again. This is what this is. I can't deny it anymore. Maybe I was, going back and forth and waffling with the idea of having done something, in quotes, wrong at the gym. And then, and then sure enough, maybe on day three, again, it's kind of, you can always go back to the first letter, which is acceptance, and really having to say, you know what, I'm not accepting what this is. And once we can really fully accept, like, this is TMS, okay, I gotta do those things that I gotta do, and I gotta, lean in strategically to show my brain that this sensation is not dangerous.
O is my favorite. I feel like if there was any of these that I could do an entire, like, have the whole nucleus of the show be that, it would probably be this one. But talk about O.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, O in the Allow framework is outcome independence. This is something that we all talk about in the mind body space, and I would say it's the whole energy of allowing as well. The outcome independence really just means we're letting go of the outcome. We're not, we're doing these mind body strategies regardless of the outcome. So, if the pain goes up, if the pain goes down, that's okay. The goal here is we are just trying to relate to pain and symptoms differently. We're trying to not respond with any fear or kind of this, if you're going into the, you're feeling the sensations in your body and you kind of have this, oh no, I don't want this here. That feeling is, again, that can just keep upregulating your nervous system. So the outcome independence, it's really sneaky because of course we want the pain to change. So, we have to really kind of go back to, sometimes I'll have this mantra to myself, as I'm leaning in strategically, and just really question myself and say, am I really accepting what is? Or am I, is my mind going into the future and saying, like, oh, this has to be gone by tomorrow or the next day? Like, that's how we know we're not being outcome independent. And if we can say to ourselves while we're experiencing any pain or symptoms, if we can really truly say to ourselves, you know what, fine, you can be here. If you're here tomorrow, you know what, in fact, if you're here for the rest of my life, that's fine. Now, of course, we don't truly mean it, but we really don't want to be tied to any outcomes, especially when we know healing is not linear. And so, we can't be scared by the idea of, the pain comes back and then it goes away, like, and feel like we're doing something wrong if that happens too.
It lowers the stakes too, and I think oftentimes, like, the lower the stakes and things, really, regardless of what it is, kind of the more free that you can participate in it. This isn't related at all, but I went to Vegas a couple months ago, and I've never once ever betted on a sports game of any kind. And I walked through the sports book in Vegas at, I think I was at the Bellagio, and just the amount of stress on in people's faces that are betting lots of money on these things because they don't have the outcome independence. And in a lot of ways, like when I watch my kids play sports, a lot of people are so tied up in the completion of it, the outcome, that they're not independent of it. And so their whole day is really dictated on the outcome of this one game. I think about that a lot, and it's not related to TMS at all, but I think about that so much when it comes to outcome independence when I hear anybody talking about it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy with like what's the energy behind how badly you want to heal,
Yep.
right? It's like you're at a casino, are you betting $1,000 or $1,000,000? I mean, 1,000 is still too much.
I would
But
say 100 is probably too much, but that's,
yeah.
that's me.
Yeah, my limit's $40. I go low. Yeah.
It's funny. $40 is a funny thing when it comes to gambling because the last time that I think I gambled was, I think it was 2010, 2010 or 2011. And my wife and I stayed at a hotel that was near, it was near a casino. We both agreed, okay, we'll each spend $40 and we'll go do the slots. And I did, I think most of them were nickel or quarter slots. And I think I won like $1,500 with that $40 investment. So, quit when I was ahead and I wasn't really making much money then at the time. So I thought I was like filthy rich because of this $1,500 win. Hey, but this was 16 years ago. Maybe I was actually rich. I don't know.
That's incredible. Well, that's inspiring. Now
Yeah.
I want to go to the casino
Go do some quarter
without
slots.
independence.
That's the whole, that's a concept of like found money, right? If you find something and it wasn't something that that you're all that tied to, then it's just not a big deal, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, rounding third with the W. Talk about that.
Yeah, so moving into W would be willingness, and so it's there. It's kind of a little different than acceptance, but willingness we can kind of go in a little deeper. Again, with the sort of leaning in, are we really willing to lean in strategically? Like you have to kind of really be willing to be open to sitting with your pain, as uncomfortable as it is. We have to be willing to be feel this way with the sensations themselves. And then sometimes we need to be willing to look at our lives a little closer too, because what might be contributing to your symptoms could be emotional factors, right? If when we're talking about TMS, of course, we have to talk about Dr. Sarno, and so there could be some things that you've been repressing in your life and your personality traits and all of these things that we can look at to see like, oh, these are the things that are contributing to this chronic pain or symptom that I'm in. And so some examples of things that I needed to be willing to look at were people pleasing and perfectionism, and I've even had moments in my life where I had a symptom where I had some foot pain, and I felt as though I wasn't putting my best foot forward in life, or I wasn't standing up for myself in certain ways. And so, really looking at, really being willing, rather, to sort of see what could the symptom mean on a psychological and emotional level.
For sure. I think that's a big part of it too, is the willingness around it. I think that actually relates to how many was that? Three letters ago. I'm bringing this back. I'm bringing my notes back up. Or no, a couple ago, with the lean in strategically. Those terms seem a little inverse, but I think they're tied in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we want to just be willing to let what is here to be here, right? So we're not trying to say the pain can't be here. We're just willing to just make space for it, allow it to be here. So it's kind of like you're open to experiencing it, right? And the acceptance is just accepting that it's there to begin with. So the willingness kind of is one step further. So yeah, I guess to sort of sum up the whole thing, it's like the word allow would be acceptance is kind of the first letter, and then the last two letters are the outcome independence and the willingness. And so those three are kind of the energy behind how we either want to just let it be, or if we want to lean in strategically. Because again, you could be kind of flip-flopping between the two L's in that sense. You want to be living your life. You want to be you want to be doing what you'd be doing even if you didn't have the pain, because we're not waiting for the pain to go away in order to live lives. And so we just want to let it be, do our thing. But then sometimes that missing piece could be the leaning in strategically. I know that for myself, for 3 years, I didn't know that that was something I could do. I didn't know that I could just sit with the sensations and really feel them through this lens of safety. Really feel them, let them speak. You know, if you're kind of picturing, sometimes imagery helps and visualization and, you know, having a mindfulness exercise. And I like to picture, you know, sitting around a bonfire and you're just kind of like looking at your body part as if it's like this fire. And then you're kind of watching the coals, and then you can sort of see the coals, you know, changing color from like red to, you know, eventually just into dust. And sort of doing that sort of imagery work can really help shift the physiology of your body too. It sounds kind of woo-woo, but you know, all of these things affect how our body responds, right? This is the mind-body connection. So we can do things that sort of downregulate the nervous system and desensitize the nervous system by really teaching the subconscious mind that the sensations aren't dangerous, and that will lower the volume knob on the sensations and pain.
We got a couple minutes left. I want to hear, you talked about you were sick earlier this year. Talk about that.
Yeah, so you know, my main primary symptoms when I healed years ago, and before I became a coach, was musculoskeletal pain. So I had everything from, and of course I've shared my story before if people want to hear it, you know, a couple years ago. I don't remember what episode number that was, but people could go back and see. But so yeah, mostly things like back pain, foot pain, shoulder pain, wrist pain, literally kind of all around the body. But you know, in recent years I've had more of the post-viral type symptoms, both from just kind of like a regular flu virus, as well as recently just this past winter with COVID. And you know, pain or symptoms, again, they'll always be our greatest teacher. And never did I think I would be somebody that also experienced long COVID. Thinking back to 2020 and how everybody was really afraid of that. And of course, you know, people, I want to encourage people to always seek medical advice if you have something going on. You know, if you ever did have COVID and you needed to see if there was any permanent damage, like the, you know, there are cases of that, very rare, of course. But as we know in the mind-body community, a lot of symptoms that are prolonged after a virus has healed, are learned. Again, they're learned neural circuits by the brain and nervous system. So the reason I knew that what I was experiencing was long COVID was because, so I had COVID in January and I was better for 2 weeks, so completely symptom free. And around mid-February, all of my symptoms came back. And not only did they come back, they came back worse than how I felt when I had COVID. That's kind of also another red flag, I would say. Like every time I've experienced post-viral symptoms, they're always worse than the actual virus ever was. Yeah, so again, we always want to rule things out. You know, we're not saying we're not anti-medicine in any way. I took another COVID test. It was negative. You know, I treated it with cold medication. Maybe this is just a cold. But then after 2 weeks, I recognized, okay, this is doing something funky here. You know, it's not healing sort of in an appropriate sort of linear fashion. Feel good for a day, and then the symptoms kind of come bouncing back. And another big clue was how the symptoms were inconsistent and bouncing around different parts of my body. And I was able to use the Allow method on myself, especially when it came to the leaning and strategically part. So, real quick, I just essentially would do somatic tracking on the chest discomfort that I was feeling. And then I would notice, oh wow, it's now like moved up to my head. And it was kind of doing this dance. And so I really, really just had to allow myself to follow it. And of course, it did feel frightening at the time, but I had to really let go of this idea that there was anything dangerous anymore, and really just allow it to be there and accept what was happening, be outcome independent and not really care. Of course, I truly, you know, fundamentally cared whether that it would go away. But in that moment, I really just had to be with it and speak to it and bring self-compassion to it. And the last sort of key thing that I did, and I'm always telling my clients this too, is that when you're noticing it move and you're like leaning into it, like let's just say I was feeling that chest tightness, and then all of a sudden it's moved into my head. And most people will say, oh, well, now it's in my head. Oh no, what do I do? But if you're able to sort of have this awareness of, oh, wait a minute, it's in my head, but it's no longer in my chest. And you can kind of like train your brain to look for the absence of where the pain once was. That will actually make your brain feel safer because it's proving to your brain, hey, it's not dangerous. Like it was in your chest, but it's not there now. And so that just means that it has the possibility of going away completely because it's kind of like the symptom imperative, right? If it moved out of that part of the body that was originally frustrating you and scaring you, well, then you're okay. And so I just kind of had to follow it around, like it was ping-ponging around my body and just kind of looking for the absence of it and say, hey, it's not there now. Now it's here. You know, almost like a game. Like I was smiling at it and saying, oh, you little trickster, you're trying to scare me, but you know, I'm not gonna fall for this. But you know, I'll go along for the ride and just let it be at the same time as well.
Kind of reminds me of when Schubiner was on the show several years ago, and he talked about kind of like being a detective with this stuff, and basically that a lot of the quote unquote work is like falls in the realm of if is this happening or is this happening or is this happening, and if so, then case closed, like your detective work is over. And a lot of his had to do with if it's a musculoskeletal injury, for instance, like that's going to heal in this amount of time. And if it's gone past that amount of time and it's either getting worse or staying the same and it's not broken and you don't have a tumor, you don't have cancer, then like, the investigation's over. So being able to kind of leverage logic and have it be proof for you, sounds kind of similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and everything I'm saying is not anything new under the sun, and other people, of course, have talked about all of these ideas. And it really is. It does come down to pain neuroscience and how we have a confirmation bias. And so, if you are noticing you are having pain in a certain area, then that belief becomes, oh, it's always there. It's always there. And we're not going to just necessarily be aware of it when it's not there because we're so primed to look at. To look at it, to be looking at it when it is there. So we just assume it's there all the time. And so, yeah, what you're saying about Dr. Schubiner is absolutely right. It's like he says that we want to be a detective for the opposite. So really be on the lookout for when the pain or symptoms don't behave as predictable as it had been before. And sort of start to see the prediction errors and like the fallacy in that, because we don't want that confirmation bias to keep holding true. We want to kind of poke holes in that theory that your brain thinks that the pain won't ever go away.
Scott, where can they find you online?
Yeah, thanks. So people can find me. My platform is How to Heal Chronic Pain, all just one word. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and then my website is howtohealchronicpain.ca.
Excellent. Scotty, thanks for being here. Let's keep in touch, okay?
That'd be great. All right. Thanks for having me on, Eddie.
Take care.